Okay, who taught you how to live stream?
A wonderful teen named Cherry Puss. She lives in Singapore. Why? Who wants to know?
Okay, well, did she teach you how to turn it off? Because you just posted your entire conversation with David and Patrick.
No, I distinctly remember putting down the phone.
But you didn't stop recording. So people basically got, like, a whole podcast about how David's wetting the bed again.
Greetings, it's the Duke here.
And I'm Lady J, and this is a whole podcast about David wetting the bed again, otherwise known as Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast.
Dedicated to all things Schitt's Creek.
How are you, the Duke?
I'm good, and David wetting the bed, I guess. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I really wanted to do that.
Thanks
I know. For indulging me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So here we are at episode 2.
Yes.
The incident. What an incident.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
Before we get into this episode.
Yes.
Little bit of housekeeping. We got some feedback from some listeners on 601.
Okay.
So thought we could address those before we dive into the new stuff.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. So firstly, we got a voicemail from a listener.
How exciting.
I know. So this is a voicemail from a listener named Ash.
Hey, Lady J. Hey, the Duke. Big shithead over here, Ash from Aurora, Illinois. Just wanting to say, I heard you comment in one of your recent podcasts. It was either this most recent one for Smoke Signals or the previous one, Life is a Cabaret. You commented, you know, let David say fuck. That he's never said fuck. Maybe shit or something like that. No, he has said fuck a lot. Just Google, David says fuck Schitt's Creek on YouTube. You'll find a compilation video. I would send you a link here, but I don't get to do that. So love the podcast. Really enjoying listening to it. I'm a huge shithead. So peace out. Keep it shitty.
Yay.
Okay, first of all, keep it shitty is the new thing.
I love it.
Oh my God, Ash, you just made my day.
It's amazing.
That's very cool.
Keep it shitty. That's how we're ending every episode from now on.
No more we love you shitheads.
No.
Keep it
that
shitty.
That is so the last 5 seasons.
Awesome.
But, so, yeah. Okay, so I will own this one. Classic Lady J. Mind you, I didn't even go back to listen to it, but like, I'm not surprised if my stupid brain once again said David when I mean Patrick. Because I'm constantly doing that. I don't know what it is about these two names. I keep conflating them. Like, I keep fucking up.
Womp. I didn't even catch that.
I know. And I'm usually pretty good about catching it too. Yeah. So I didn't go back to listen to it, but if I did say David, just know I did mean Patrick.
But I am definitely going to check out that compilation now, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I want to hear David say all the fucks.
All the fucks. But yeah, and actually another listener, I don't remember now if it was like on Instagram or where, but somebody else pointed out that it is a choice by Dan to not have the word shit be used by anyone.
Right.
Because I think that was the comment that I made, was like that at some point Patrick may have said shit or something, or maybe I thought it but didn't say it. I don't know.
But okay.
Apparently it's a choice that they've made on the show to not use the word shit.
Yeah, I do remember hearing that, and I do remember us talking about that, which I get it. I get why he wouldn't want them to use that word, because hello.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, and like, right. Because the whole thing is Schitt's Creek and all that.
All the other curse words, game on.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm here for it, and I love it.
I love it.
I know we all do.
I love it because, and here's an interesting thing that I guess maybe the listeners can tell us, because I know, for example, when I went back before it was on Netflix, the season 5 episodes had appeared on Pop, like for free, and you could watch them.
Right.
And on Pop, it's censored.
It is.
And of course, on Netflix, it's not. But also, when we're watching the new season on Pop, it's not censored.
It's not censored.
So it's curious.
Interesting.
So I wonder, like, if when people are watching it, like, on Pop, you know, is it being censored for some people and not for others? Is it censored on the CBC? I don't know.
It's interesting that you mentioned it. I have noticed that when I'm watching it on the app itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah. It might be a weird, like, pop app internet loophole thingy where they can't curse on that. Or I wonder,
because it's an app, you know, they don't know, like, the age.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Something to think about.
So then we also got an email from our good friend Frank.
Yes.
About 601 that I will read portions of. Because once again, he's so thorough.
I love it, though.
I know. It's wonderful. We just don't have all of the time to read every part of it.
God, I wish you could imagine. It's a whole podcast in itself.
Yeah. Frank's reaction.
Let's do it, Frank.
So first things first, you had raised the question of what is the top piece on Moira's necklace that she's wearing at the creek. And or actually throughout the whole episode. And Frank's idea is that it looks more like a maple leaf than a crow.
Hmm.
I will say that in rewatching it and taking a really good look at it, to me, it does look like a crow that's diving down.
Yeah.
Like it does. If it is a maple leaf.
The super abstract maple leaf.
It's not like a clearly defined, right. Like classic maple leaf shape. That doesn't mean it's not a maple leaf.
No, not at all.
You know, Lord knows Myra would wear an abstract, like avant-garde.
Well, the rest thing of that necklace is super artsy and true. Super, you know, it's not a perfectly shaped heart. So
right.
You never know.
So, you know, I don't know. Maple leaf, crow, you tell us. And then he talks about his word for the episode.
Nice.
So for Frank, the word that came to mind was reflexive.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He says that a lot of things were callbacks to the first season, especially David and Alexis. Each were resorting to their season one behavior and attitude. It came across as a coping mechanism. Which I feel like he's sort of picking up on what I was also picking up on with my word and my thoughts on the episode, which is that they're a little bit like stuck. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not quite like continuing on their path of growth and evolution, you know?
Yeah.
He continues to say, I think a lot of the little things Dan Levy did served as a reminder of what Alexis was like when she first arrived. She lived in a world full of chaos. The crazed packing was a good reminder what a slob she used to be and the messes she could find herself in. Sean Penn is a reminder that she could be just as bad as David in her choice of men she decided to get involved with. Which,
Sean Penn.
Eesh, you know?
Yeah.
Which, fair, I mean, to Frank's point, we get a lot about exes from David in that episode, too. So that is like an interesting, you know, callback-ish type of thing to do. You know, here we are in season six, last season. Thanks, Frank, for those insights.
Thank you, Frank.
And thank you for all of you that, you know, have written in and commented and posted about 601. So with that.
Yes.
Let's get into it, baby.
Please.
This is episode 602 titled The Incident.
Ooh.
And the pop synopsis is David is embarrassed by a childhood issue that resurfaces. While Johnny, Stevie, and Roland attend a viewing for a motel nearby.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
No mention of Moira. What was going on with her?
No.
Hey, Pop. Before we get into this episode, let's get into our first segment, Oh, Word. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word. Word up. This is the segment where we each tell you our word for this episode that we believe perfectly describes this episode that we're about to get into, and hopefully it leads us down the path to explain it all to you.
Why don't you start us off?
Okay. So my word for this episode is confound.
Ooh.
I like that.
Thank you. I'm confounded by that choice. Not really. I'm actually excited about it. Tell me.
So
tell us why.
Listen, there are seriously like a million definitions for this single word.
Sure.
But I feel like the first definition probably is the best one. The one that I really feel like explains why I chose this word. So confound, to perplex or amaze, especially by a sudden disturbance or surprise, bewilder, confuse.
Ooh.
Now, the reason I chose this is because I feel like this speaks to every storyline here. David and Patrick, he wet the bed. I mean, hi. Do I need to say anything more? No.
Right.
Moira and Alexis, they're on this journey together to raise publicity, you know, for her latest movie. Interflex wants her to take over their live stream. What is it, Instagram or some social media platform?
I think it is Instagram.
Okay. So they want her to go live, basically. Live stream her entire day, I guess. And there's a lot of things along the way that, you know, that I feel like that word really speaks to what's going on. And then last but certainly not least, it's Johnny and Stevie. And ultimately what happens at the end of that storyline. So for me, confound.
For me, and I will own up to the fact that this is very first thought, best thought, okay? The word that just immediately sort of sprung to mind as I was thinking about it is excitement. The dictionary describes excitement as a feeling of great enthusiasm and eagerness. And I will say, like, you know, when it comes to David, I think that word sort of encapsulates where this whole bedwetting thing is coming from.
Right.
For Moira and Alexis, they're definitely excited and feeling excitement about, you know, the Instagram takeover, the fact that, you know, they're getting likes and attention from people.
Right.
And especially for Johnny in the Johnny and Stevie storyline, I think his whole thing is coming from a place of excitement because, you know, he's excited about starting another empire and like growing this business into something that, you know, he's been here before and he wants to do again. And so he's really excited about that. So excitement.
Good words.
Yeah.
Look at us. This is the part where we not beg.
No, we beg.
Okay,
we
beg to send us your word, whether or not it's, you know, if you want to message us over Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever.
Or leave us a voicemail,
just like Ash.
True.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Send us those words. We'll be happy to talk about them on air.
So, 602, the incident.
Yeah.
I think I want to just get started with the Johnny and Stevie and Roland storyline.
Let's do it.
Because I feel like it does stand alone.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's separate from everybody else's stuff.
You're right.
And it also is separate in the sense that none of it takes place in Schitt's Creek either.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? 20 minutes away from Schitt's Creek, this takes place. But also, very important storyline about things to come.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, what they're planning on doing, or more what Johnny is planning on doing.
This is a good setting up point for Johnny, because if we, you know, search our brains and think about the character of Johnny in this over the series as a whole, he's had very few arcs. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
He sort of has just existed in the world.
That's fair.
And
yeah,
he often plays the straight man to some of the insanity and comedy that's happening around him. And, you know, and certainly in certain like specific episodes, he'll have a storyline that pertains to him or whatever. But I don't think we've ever really seen like an arc for Johnny that takes place over a season or several seasons. And this is clearly a setup for that for him, I think.
Johnny has goals. He knows what he wants to do. His sights are set. And that's fair, you know?
Yeah.
Here's how I feel about this storyline. Everybody in the storyline, it's fair how every single one of them feels, you know?
Okay.
Whether it's negative, positive, I agree, I disagree, I think it's all fair. And that's what I appreciated about this, was there's no bad guy here. There's no, you know, there's nobody that's in the wrong for how they're feeling, which so often you get with storylines or with episodes, but not here, not in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's just kind of like trying to figure out their place and trying to move forward, whether or not it's together or it's separate. They're all just trying to move forward.
Yeah. It all begins, or it all gets kicked off with their arrival at this motel in a city that is unnamed.
Yeah.
Which is rare for this show, because they're always quick to throw Elm something in front of a place call it that.
We saw the sign, the for sale sign.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Oh, you didn't? It said Elm something.
Did it?
Yeah.
Of course it did. Okay,
it said Elm something, and I, you know, for the life of me, fact checkers, go fact check. But yeah, it did. I saw that.
Okay. So it's Elm something.
Right. And we get from Stevie again that it's 20 miles away.
Right. And they arrive, and Stevie is, you know, rightfully like what are we doing here?
Right.
What's going on? And we learn that Johnny has had Roland set up a private viewing, or I guess like walkthrough, I suppose, of the motel.
That's interesting, huh?
that Johnny had Roland
had
do that?
Roland do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, when did he think that would be successful?
I really, that's one of two things that I've written down in my notes is like things that we, like surprising things that happen in this episode.
Oh, really?
Like, that is one of them. Like,
it is.
Like, out of left field, Johnny trusted Roland
that's
to
really
plan
weird.
And set all this up.
Because, surprising nobody at all, they're at a funeral now.
But I will say, though, it does offer an opportunity for classic,
yeah.
good, like, comedic Roland moment.
It does.
Roland, there are a lot of cars here today. I thought you set up a private showing.
I'm pretty sure I said private.
Okay, heads up. This must be the agent. Smile.
Good morning. Are you here for Benny Terkstra?
I spoke with somebody named Betty, but I was mowing the lawn at the time, so your guess is as good as mine.
Betty is Benny's wife. Please, follow me.
Huh. Betty and Benny? What are they, puppets? It's the Benny and Betty show.
Hey, Roland.
I'm Benny. I'm Benny. I'm Benny.
I completely agree with Roland in this. Betty and Benny.
Yeah, it's too much. It's seriously
it's
too
cartoony.
Much.
Cartoony.
Yeah.
Like, come on. The Betty and Benny show.
Hi,
absolutely.
Betty.
The Glaffin. Come on.
Yeah.
It's just weird. But whatever. This
so,
is a
yeah.
couple.
So they walk into the lobby of this place, and there's a fucking coffin right there.
First of all, when the real estate agent walks up in all black.
I know.
You're like, that's an interesting, okay, black.
I mean, it's fine. Cool. Like, you yeah. don't really think twice about it, because, like, whatever.
No, fine. But they do think twice about it when they walk into a total funeral going on for Benny.
Benny.
They meet Betty.
Oh, God.
And then Roland comes up with this elaborate story, but Betty is helping him add to it. Like, oh yeah, football. Wait, what was it? Bowling league.
Right, right. So Roland, so Betty asks, how did they know Benny?
Yeah.
And, you know, Stevie, who's here against her will, is like, Johnny, how did we know Benny? You know, like totally just like shirking all responsibility here. And Johnny is like struggling and mumbling and can't get his words out. And so Roland, to help him, says, from the bowling league, which, I mean, bold choice. Like, we don't know Benny.
But it clearly wasn't, because what was it? What did she come up with?
Curling.
Curling. Okay, yeah.
Apparently, Benny was in a curling league.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm sorry, because, like, I don't remember you at his last bond spiel, which is maybe the funnest word ever.
Yeah.
I love it.
It is.
Bond spiel.
Doesn't Roland say bond spiel?
No, he says bond spiel.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
maybe it was
I
just in my mind.
Betty
I
actually says
to.
Bond spiel.
Oh, okay.
And then Roland keeps saying bond spiel. However, I Googled it because, of course, and a bond spiel is quite simply just a curling tournament.
Okay.
And it is pronounced Bonspiel. Yeah, so, you know, hilarity ensues. Oh, yeah, no, we had a more important Bonspiel to be at that day. So, like, we didn't go to Benny's Bonspiel. And it's good. Like, this is the kind of comedy that I feel like this show, and particularly Roland, thrives in.
Yeah.
The whole, like, trying to dig yourself out of a hole, saying more and more words that just are stupid and confusing and being funny while you're doing it.
Also, Roland deals with death amazingly. Like,
oh, he's so unfazed.
He's just there for the food. He's there for the good times. It is quite possibly one of my favorite scenes.
You know who else is there for the food?
You know what they say. You can tell the quality of a motel by the food they serve at the owner's funeral.
We're not even supposed to be here, Roland. Can you put the plate? Is that egg salad?
What's up with Johnny and egg salad?
But I think it's a nod to Eugene, who loves an egg salad.
Okay,
sandwich.
Okay, well, there you go.
I think
he
that's
does.
The running joke, right?
He does, yeah. That's true. We've heard this in some interviews, yeah.
So that's when Betty realizes, like, okay, these people don't know my husband. I know who they are. And pulls them outside.
Yeah.
Because this is a conversation better suited for the outside.
So the whole time, I am thinking, okay, she knows they're here.
Because of the selling the
because
motel.
Because they want to purchase
right.
this motel.
Right.
However...
Now, I'd like to start from the beginning.
Mrs. Terkstra, we were just...
I was speaking.
Yes, you were.
It's becoming very clear that you people didn't know my husband at all.
Well, now when you say no...
Am I still talking?
Yes, you were, ma'am.
I can't say I wasn't expecting you. I just didn't think you'd show up at the funeral. I'm aware that my husband was not perfect. I told him that poker ring was risky, and I know there were some shady business dealings that went on behind closed doors, but I had nothing to do with it.
I'm sorry?
Well, you're the federal agents I was warned about. No need to keep up the act. Her face has Fed written all over it.
Thanks.
Betty! Betty!
Are you going to sing that now?
Betty and the Feds!
Have you been waiting all day to sing that?
I had to. Do you understand that? Like, it was a need.
Oh, my God. So Betty thinks they're feds.
And no, she knows they're
she
feds.
She knows they're feds. But I also want to say, fuck yeah, Betty. When they start talking, oh, she's like, God. Am I talking?
Was I still talking?
Betty goals, man. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. That's, I need to do that to everybody.
If you can shut Roland up and put him in his place.
Ooh. And even have him say, no, ma'am, or I'm sorry, ma'am, or yeah, whatever he said. Like, I know. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can tell she's like a strong woman.
Sure.
And she clearly knows her rights.
Well, obviously, if she knows she's going to take some feds outside and tell them what's up, like,
yeah. What? I know.
I would have been terrified, like, feds at my husband's funeral. This is not fun.
But what's equally odd about her being so certain that these guys are feds is how quickly she softens and becomes like, ha ha hee hee. The minute she realizes that they know Maureen and they're from from the Rosebud Motel, like, oh, we used to play bingo with her. You guys are amazing. It would be so nice to like sell to somebody we know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, well, that was a quick 180, you know? Like, I don't know.
I think that she was just relieved that she wasn't going to have to deal with the whole Fed situation.
Yeah. I mean, wow. She still might, though. She doesn't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Benny was
into some
up
shit.
Up to something. Mm-hmm. Leave it to his wife, his poor widow.
Makes you wonder how he died.
No. I don't want to know. So we already found out that from the last funeral.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, God. So let's just not talk about death again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they're not feds.
Nope.
And Betty is excited to have them there, to have them interested in possibly buying this motel. Mm-hmm. Stevie is very quiet and very, I don't know what's going on. I don't even want to be here.
Nope.
She asks, you know, once already if she can go home since she was involved in this from the get-go.
She wasn't in the curling league, so can she go home?
Yeah. And, you know, Johnny wants to keep her there. Johnny very much has it in his mind that she's on board. They're partners.
Well, right. I think from Johnny's perspective, he knows that he wants to do this.
Right.
Granted, he didn't run it past Stevie.
Yeah.
This is not a conversation they've been having.
Right. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because if they are partners.
Yeah.
Something he probably should have done.
But I also think that he knows her well enough to know that she is a bit skittish. Right.
Sure.
So, and in his own words, he thought maybe, well, like once we're here and she could see it, then she would kind of just get on board and there wouldn't have to be the awkward thing of like convincing her to get on board, I guess.
I believe that, but I also believe that he was excited and that somehow he was saving this as a surprise. Like when they got there, like, hey, look at what I've done.
Yeah.
I found this place. Look at the endless possibilities. Mm-hmm. We can purchase other motels and make this bigger and better than what it is now.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, while the delivery wasn't great, I think that he had the best intentions. As, come on, Johnny usually does.
No, certainly. And I mean, it's not like he was trying to like be sneaky or whatever.
No.
Because, you know, if that was the case, he wouldn't even have brought Stevie here in the first. You know what I mean? Like he would have just made this deal without her and then whatever. It's not it's not coming from a place of like trying to get around her. It's just like.
No, I don't believe that
you
at
know.
All.
Yeah. But to your point, Stevie's just like not really feeling it.
It's very obvious that she's not there.
No.
She's not. She's checked out of this whole thing. She doesn't even want to be there.
And so when they go back to the Rosebud and Stevie's got all these like papers and like financials like out on the desk and he's like.
Johnny.
Did I say Stevie?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Oh, thank you. Johnny's got all these financials and papers, and it seems like maybe Betty sent him all that paperwork, you know, and to start the ball rolling on purchasing the place. And Stevie walks in and he's all excited. And, you know, he even says, he's like, see, you were like a little bit on the fence, but like, we're going to get a good deal on this place. We got a face to the name. It's all happening. And that's when Stevie, I guess, comes clean.
Mr. Rose, what I've been trying to talk to you about is more than just the new motel.
What is it, Stevie?
I don't think I'm ready to commit to this business, like, as a whole.
Oh.
It's just doing cabaret made me feel like I should push myself. And so I just wondered, you know, maybe there's something more out there for me.
Well, what are you saying? You want out?
No. I don't know. I feel like I'd regret it if I didn't at least try to see what's out there.
Well, if that's what you feel you need to push yourself, Stevie, I certainly am not going to stand in your way. That being said, I'm not going to pretend that I don't hope you'll come back. Either way, I hope you find what you're looking for.
Mr. Rose, thank you. Okay, you know what? I think I should just head home early and think about it.
Or you can think about it as you finish your shift.
That's fair.
Gonna miss that enthusiasm.
This scene makes me feel a lot of things. I feel like there's so much in just one scene. First of all, I'm really glad that she mentions cabaret because it had the effect on her, I think, that we were hoping it was going to have. And it's good to like hear that from her, that it really opened up her mind and it made her want to push for things for herself. So that's, I'm very proud of her in that. But I am also devastated for Johnny. This is blow number two. But I don't know, his reaction to it is, it hurt to watch because he's not a selfish man and he doesn't just think about himself. He thinks about everybody around him too. And just like with the situation with Moira, the last episode, he's just thinking about her and what's to come. And, you know, he's a little disappointed that she chose to jump back into it, but he's also scared for her. And with Stevie, I think he's disappointed because this was his partner and he was really genuinely looking forward to this journey with her and doing this with her. He's had a good time with her, you know? They've gotten very close. But I also think that he's confused because he doesn't know where this is coming from. And a little worried too, like, what is out there for you? And like, what are you gonna do? So I don't know. It's a feely scene.
I have all of the feels for Johnny in this. This is a bit of a blow for him. You know, he has put a lot of sweat and blood into this business. And, you know, it's certainly more successful than it's ever been since he came on and, you know, started helming the ship. And, you know, he has dreams and hopes and aspirations. And I think he assumed that Stevie would be there with him every step of the way. And it kind of sucks that now he knows that she won't. Who I don't have warm and fuzzies for is in this is Stevie.
Really?
I have some problems with, and this is where I struggle because, like me, Lady J, I don't know if what I don't like is Stevie or Emily Hampshire's performance in that scene.
Oh, interesting.
I can't tell yet. I think time will tell, like future episodes will tell based on what happens with her and her character. But she is extremely breathy as she's talking to Johnny here. She's taking a lot of deep breaths. And especially at the end when she's like, I'm going to go home and think about this. To me, she just seems checked out. She seems like she's just not interested anymore.
You know, I'm glad that you said that, because ever since last episode, where she just like hauled ass out of wherever she was partying to get to the venue, I felt that way too. She felt just checked out, and like she was just having a good time and laughing at it. Like you mentioned that, and I like that you mentioned that, because now it's all kind of like coming together, and it's a bigger picture kind of a thing.
Right.
We're seeing how she is not the Stevie that we're used to seeing, where she's very much wants to be a part of these people's lives, even though she'll act like she doesn't. She is. But now it's just like, it's strange.
Like, and this is why I say I don't even know that it's a thing I have against Stevie, because Stevie as a character, right, is somebody who we've seen her, like, we know, you know, she has often struggled with this, like, for lack of a better word, like existential crisis of like her place and her future and like what's to become of her, you know, like I think for a long time she felt like she was going to live and die behind that desk and, you know, get stuck in this town and all those things. She's expressed that certainly. And so on the one hand, like for Stevie, I am proud of her. I'm glad that she took out of Cabaret and that whole experience what we were talking about this whole time and like we're hoping for. And also, though, I think because we kind of saw that coming, it's less interesting to see it being talked about now, because I'm like, well, no shit. Like, obviously you had an amazing experience and you fucking, you know, maybe this timed yourself. So it's almost like I would have just preferred it, I guess, if she just didn't have to like go through the motions of like telling everybody in her life that she wants to spread her wings, because I'm like, yeah, duh, just do it. Don't have this like, Mr. Rose, like, I mean, thank you. Like, all this stuff is just like not working for me. I don't know. And again, that's why I'm like, is it Stevie or is it Emily? Like, I don't know.
Do you think it's a choice that they had her be this way? They have her checked out?
Well, right. And that's why I say I think future episodes and the rest of the season will tell me, will give me the answers I'm looking for. But in this instance, this scene, it's not working for me. Something is off about her. I'm not into it.
Fair.
Whereas with Johnny, I'm feeling all the emotions because I'm seeing him. I'm seeing his happy ass face when she walks in, and then the fall and like his continued, like, not even continued disappointment, but that feeling of like, well, shit, you know.
I almost wonder if this scene fell a little short of what their goal was with it. I wonder if they were setting it up to be more of a Stevie thing, when all I felt when I watched this, I just
was for Johnny. Johnny. Mm-hmm.
So,
but again, but this is the thing about the show, is this show has proven time and time again that they know what they're doing, yes, you know?
Certainly.
And so it's almost like I don't feel comfortable, like, you know, like putting my foot down one way or the other at any given
moment.
They've
certainly proven us wrong many times.
Oh, yeah. All the damn time.
Which I'm always glad they do.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to be wrong. I want
right.
that. But that was my feeling with that scene.
That's fair.
Which is why, you know, we want to open that up to everybody listening. It's like, Absolutely. We want to hear, because, you know, oftentimes what'll happen with me especially is like I'll watch it and I sort of get locked in to my thoughts until I hear other people talk about it. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's also true. Or that's also a good point or whatever. Yep. But it's hard for me to like get there on my own, you know, like because I sort of get locked into my box.
Yeah. And I've told you a million times I come here, you know, my thoughts and everything that I've written down or that I think that I'm going to say, and we'll text one another and I'll say, oh, I got a lot to say about that. Mm-hmm. And then we get here and we hear one another speak and we're like, huh.
Yeah.
Never saw it that way.
Right.
But okay.
Right.
Yep.
But that's the Johnny and Stevie of it all.
It is.
In this episode.
And a little bit of Roland sprinkled in. Just enough.
Truly just enough Roland. Yeah. Everything he does is comedic, on the ball, he's funny, he's good.
I appreciated the Roland comedy in this.
I love that he considers himself a visionary.
Man.
When Stevie is like, at first, like, what are we doing here? What's going on? And he's like, I told you, Johnny, she's not a visionary like us.
I don't know what more is in store for Roland, if anything at all, man. But God, I could see Roland going places. I don't know what places.
Well, but here's a thought. What, do you think that he might now take more of a senior role in the business since Stevie's sort of taking a step back?
Sure. And while that is a scary thought, I can see it. I can see it. I think I could
see Johnny relying on him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, which frankly, I'd be kind of down to see that. Like, I'd be down to watch that.
Yeah, me too.
You know? Because you know there'll be, like, foibles along the way.
That's going to be comedy.
Yeah.
Especially with those two.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Lord. Yeah.
I mean, who can forget the hilarity of the golfing tips? Come on now.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so let's get into
The
titular events of this episode. Mm-hmm. Mm.
I don't even know where to begin with this other than just...
This cold open, fire. Fucking fire.
Abso-fucking-lutely. I probably one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
There was nothing wrong with this cold open. If this cold open was a test, it would be an A+. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it got extra credit just for being fucking that awesome.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally know what you mean.
I was laughing so fucking hard because of how, like, oh my God, I was at everything happening. Mm-hmm. They came fucking hard.
And it, like, literally, it's one of these, like, rare things where it's funny. And like it begins funny and then literally like with every passing minute.
Yes.
It's like more haha and more haha and more LOL. You're just like, how, like I'm dying, like I'm out of breath.
The moment David says, what is that? There's something wet. I'm like, no.
Somebody spilled in the bed.
Yeah, we'll clean it up.
That's wet. There's wet in the bed.
What?
Yeah.
Well, what did you spill, David?
I didn't spill anything.
Well, what? Are you bleeding?
What? No.
Well, what is it?
Nothing.
Is it you? What happened?
Nothing.
Oh my God, David.
Did you wet the bed?
No.
I'm gonna write a fucking essay on David's delivery of that final no.
The way his like mouth is like slightly open, and he's just like, no.
I don't even know if the mic is picking it up. But
he
it's
can't even
so
like
good.
Get it out. He just has this look like he wants to go crawl under a fucking rock. Like, God, don't look at me. I don't exist anymore. Oh, my God. It's, and then everything just fucking goes from there.
Right off the bat, I love Patrick's delivery of, oh, my God, David. What is that? Where is that coming
from? The little, like, half smirk, like, is Mr. Perfect not so perfect?
I know, but also, like, can you imagine being Patrick and reacting that way? Like, or saying those words? Like you, like, because he knows what he's just realized, and his reaction is almost like, giddiness. Like, you know, it's like, it's, but in a good way, not like, not like laughing at David, but just like, you know, like, yeah. Like, oh my God, what? It's
like, I think his reaction is all of our reactions. Like, is this happening?
Yes.
Did you just pee the bed? It is. Oh, and then, like I said, everything just snowballs from there.
I have to go.
You're not going anywhere.
No, I need to leave.
David, calm down, okay?
It's fine. It's not fine. Nothing about that is fine. Do we have to file for divorce if we were never married?
We are not getting divorced. Yet. I need to see if I can get the stain out of my sheets first.
Okay, does that window open? Because I'm about to jump out of it.
David, just get in the shower. I will deal with this. Just let me do that for you. And I gotta probably get these sheets in the wash sooner than later.
I will take a shower, but we must never see each other again.
Okay, that sounds like a fair deal. David, I'm gonna need the bedspread too. So, just... Okay. I love you.
Glad one of us does.
I feel like four seasons of Patrick's sarcasm and snark and like one-liner comebacks to David has culminated.
Oh, yeah.
In this episode and his reaction to everything that's happening. Like, he is so ready here. He's so ready to just be like one and one and one with every, yeah, with every escalation of David, like divorce, jumping out a window, like I'm gonna die, you know, whatever, like we can't see each other ever again. He's right there with like, this isn't a big deal.
Yeah,
that's fair, you know, like all these like things. Oh my God, it's just so good.
But also what I love is that David's reaction to having this happen is everybody caught in that situation.
Oof.
Absolutely being that mortified that like this has happened. I'm an adult and like have perfect control of myself.
Yeah.
But not right now. And this happened. Imagine. Listen.
No, I mean, his mortification, if that's the right conjugation of that word, is our mortification. Like,
yes,
I also want to crawl under a rock with him. It's.
You are laying crazy in bed with your fiance, the love of your life, who has never seen you, hopefully, as anything but sexy. Mm.
But knows your flaws and loves you despite them. Great. And but because not this. Of them, but not this.
Never seen this. So now we're in it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? And that's what I'm saying. David is all of us caught in that situation. Everything that happens. Like, do we need to get divorced if we haven't been gotten married yet? I'm gonna jump out of this window. I will never see you again. Like, yeah.
If I'm David, right, I wake up and there's wet in the bed, as he says. I feel like he probably feels like he fucked himself because, like, if he, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he realized what had happened before he woke Patrick up, he honestly would have, like, left. He would have run the fuck out of there
and
never to be heard from again. You know what I'm saying? Like his clown ex-boyfriend, never to be seen from again. Like I genuinely believe that that's where David would be if he hadn't already woken up Patrick and, like, put his foot in it. You know what I mean?
Oh, this is the best. This is the best.
It's so, I mean, what makes it so good and... What actually, it's actually kind of masterful because it's like, this would be so easy to be like, oh, we're punching down, we're laughing at David, but
no,
we're not, because of Patrick's reaction. Patrick's reaction to this being supportive and like not that, you know, worried or like offended or, you know, whatever, helps us, the audience, laugh because it's like, well, it's going to be fine because, like, Patrick's cool, so we're cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be okay.
But what's so interesting about this scene and this storyline is that everybody takes something different from this. And, like, for me, if we're going to be real, real in Schitt's Creek and real about this and real about that, this is real. It happens.
Yeah.
It fucking happens.
Yeah.
And the Duke is about to get real fucking real because I've done it. Like, it fucking – I have kids. So things – aren't what they used to be. So not shit, but stuff happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it happens. And it's fucking mortifying. And it just sucks. So that's what I'm saying. Like, we all, some people don't like this storyline. Some people freaking love the shit out of it. Some people relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking amazing, and it's perfect. I think it is so perfect. Because if we're going to get real, let's get real.
Yeah.
And that's what they did here.
Yeah.
Things aren't always sunshine and roses and perfection in any relationship. And now, hello.
Despite, I mean, and it's like, it's even better too, because it's like, you know, and we've talked about it before. We've seen this setting before where they're in bed together in the morning and it's like lovely. And so you're almost like lulled into the sense of like, oh, look at these two, yeah, our favorite couple doing their thing. And then it just snowballs out of control from there. It's amazing.
It is. But the acting and the comedy from both of them. Oh, Patrick just wanting to like hug him and like, it's fine.
Let me do this it's for perfect. You is my
You're
favorite.
Great. Don't worry. Like just letting him know like, oh God, he's trying right after it even happens.
Yeah.
So like, let's just get over this. Let's just move on.
He's
let's
like, it's go. Not a big deal. Go take a it's shower. Not. I'll take care of this. It's done. Don't worry.
And I love
about
that.
It.
Like, I'll wash it. You just go shower.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love you.
Amazing.
It is.
And so 7 showers later,
another one of the greatest scenes.
So good. David comes out of the bathroom looking like fucking Fred Flintstone in the sweater of his.
With a towel on his head.
Yeah.
Man.
There's this really fun moment. And I have to believe that it was on purpose. Like, so he comes out of the bathroom and Patrick is there waiting for him and is like, so listen, I think we should talk about this. And David's like, no, can we just not, never, please, ever again? And as he says that, he starts crossing frame because now he's going to go get his shoes and put them on. And there's a slight smile on his face that feels like a blooper-ish moment.
I knew you were going to say that.
You,
yes.
Of course you did.
Yes.
But here's what I love about it is because in that moment when Patrick is being so like, it's not a big deal, everything's fine, and David is wanting to continue to be mortified, that little smile playing on his face shows us, the audience, even he knows he's cool. Like,
yeah.
to, like that he might be sort of over-exaggerating and blowing this out of proportion, but now he's, like, committed yeah. to this stance of, like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened, and it sucks.
So but he doesn't look like, all that bad because of him,
right.
because of Patrick.
Right. And so he sits down on the bed to put his shoes
oh,
on.
Oh, my God.
What is that noise?
I don't know. Maybe the sheets are a bit stiff.
No, it's like a crinkling sound.
Oh, you're probably just sitting on the mattress tag.
Is this a mattress protector?
No. No, no. That's a second sheet that you put on the mattress that my mom gave me when I moved in, so I just...
You put down... A plastic sheet?
Well, I don't think it's a I mean, it might have a rubberized coating, but
oh
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It's purely coincidental.
Purely coincidental.
Okay, look, I just wanted you to be comfortable in case it happened again. Mm-hmm, that's... Mm-hmm, come on, David. It's an expensive mattress.
More expensive than my dignity?
I mean, comfortable, at least.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Well.
No good?
I cannot stop laughing at this.
These two are like, they make me so happy.
They're perfection.
They make me so happy.
They do. They really, really do.
I mean, like,
I could watch them all day.
Yeah. Just put a camera up in their house
yep.
and just turn it on 24/7 and let me just watch them be.
The special kind of love they have for one another. It's like, I've never seen it. Anywhere else.
It's true. Their relationship, their chemistry, their dynamic, it feels like they've lived in it for years.
Right?
Like, there's something so, like, just good and, like, comfy about watching these two be together.
Yeah, they really are. That's the absolute truth. It's like they've known each other their whole lives.
Yeah.
And they could say, do whatever around one another, clearly.
They're so,
and it's
like,
okay. It's fine.
Yeah, there's like an ease to it, you know? Mm-hmm. There's like this comfortableness to it where yeah. you're just like, oh, yeah, no, this is how like people that have been together forever are. You know what I mean?
They fit. Like they yeah. just fit
yeah.
with one another.
It's written so well.
Yeah, it really is.
It's, I mean, obviously it's acted amazingly too, but like, you know, it comes from, I think, the writing. Like it's on paper and then they bring it yeah. to life. They're written so well as a couple.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But it's so funny too because these two, the comedy with them in this storyline is like matched. They match each other.
That's what I'm talking about. I feel like Patrick has been like training for this race all his life. And this is the episode where he's like ready, man. He's ready with all the comebacks to everything David said.
Still careful.
Yeah, well, of course. Because it's Patrick.
But he knows David. And I mean, moving forward, you know, in this storyline, we'll see that while he's still able to say these little things to David, he's still protecting him. Baby.
Then he becomes Papa Bear. Yep. In this, when it's just the two of them and they know each other and their relationship and how to be with each other, he is this way. He's a little bit comebacky, a little bit one-linery, you know, whatever. Like the whole, it's comparable at least, is fucking classic. And then the minute it becomes them against the world, fucking Papa Bear, dude.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Which seems about right.
Oh yeah.
And as it should be.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There's not room for anybody else here. Mm-mm. Like, mm-hmm. This is our thing. This is us.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So while that's happening, Alexis has been talking to the Interflix people, and they are announcing the news about the Crows movie. And so they've asked Moira to do an Instagram takeover of their account for the day. And we've seen this happen in real life, right? We know what this looks like.
Sure.
Pop will give their channel to Annie for the day.
And, it happens.
Right. And you'll get like, this is me in my makeup trailer getting my makeup done. Yeah. Or, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, little whatever.
It's happens basically all the
just
time.
To generate views and buzz and, you know, marketing. And so they've asked Moira to do this. And Alexis is like, don't worry. I got you. I'll handle it.
What exactly is required of me? Just like a couple of cute pics and funny one-liners.
I see. And you would be the architect behind those funny one-liners?
Mm-hmm.
Color me curious. What might one of my humorous quips sound like to you?
Oh, my God, I don't know yet.
Well, it's just that you and I have very different comedic stylings, dear. I take a slightly more cerebral approach.
Okay. You are the one that described social media as an amusement park for clinical narcissists. So, doing you a favor.
Very well. Let me see what you're typing. Big news coming soon. Caw, caw. And a little yellow cartoon. Winking. Oh, you know what would be fun, Alexis? Let's put a beak on that winking cartoon.
Amusement park for clinical narcissists. Is she wrong?
No. And this brings me to my second surprising thing about this episode.
Okay.
Is her saying that, right, about social media and the fact that she's not even on social media at all,
right,
suggests a kind of surprising level of self-awareness on Moira's part.
Right.
Don't you think?
Yes. Yep, I would agree.
Don't you feel like Moira would be exactly the person who'd be all over social media all the time, getting likes and attention and whatever? And the fact that she understands that it's just a place for like fakeness and like not really real is pretty like interesting, I think, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, this is all Alexis's deal.
Right.
She's done this. And yet Moira knows what she has to say and how she wants to be represented.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to do it herself.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Moira's not a dummy.
No.
Mind you, she doesn't know like the ins and outs and the workings of things. She doesn't know how to even live stream. But she knows what to say.
Well, right. She knows, to like you just said, she knows how she wants to come across.
Right.
And she doesn't want that in the hands of anybody but herself. That being said, I did like Alexis's.
It was cute.
One-liner, you know, that's funny. Caw, caw.
It was smart.
Yeah, it's good.
To the point.
I love the idea of having a beak on an emoji. Like, that should be a thing.
They just got a bird emoji. Like, come on.
But then it wouldn't be a winking face.
Oh, God. I had the beak. I'm here trying to do it right now. Like, I mean...
So she does. So she takes the phone from Alexis, and I love it. Like, she grabs it, and she's like, okay, can they see us? Like, just, it's not a video.
Okay, like, are we on? Are we
is it rolling?
God.
But then as soon as they send it out, it's getting all these likes and attention immediately, and she gets excited. She's like, oh, my God, look at this. Like, we're doing
five likes already.
We have our own little digital soapbox, which is, you know, I think especially for Moira, a very cool thing.
Alexis, this is exciting.
We have our very own digital soapbox here. It reminds me of the Nickelodeon pilot I did in which Ashley Tisdale and I played suffragettes. Mm-hmm. You remember, you go, girl.
Mm-hmm. Have you pressed send yet?
Send. Alexis, they're liking it.
We have 5 likes. People are calling back.
Oh, Alexis, I think you and I might need to purchase antibiotics. I believe we've just gone viral.
It's honestly one of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
It's an amazing Moira line.
Yeah.
I believe we've just gone viral.
Very smart of her. Very quick.
She's so good.
Yeah.
She's so, like, that is just, oh, it's so good.
What do you think about Alexa's reaction to that, though? Because I feel like when I first watched it, I felt like she was like, yes, cute. But then I thought she was just like, yeah, no. And then walked away from her.
No, I think it's still the first way.
Yeah.
I always take it like that. Like, cute. She's like, oh.
Like, you agreeing know, like, with her? Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that only Alexis could, which is like, you know, she's sure. not going to like be like, that's hilarious, mom. Like, but she gives it up. You know, she's like, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So Moira comes bursting in to the store,
yes,
with the phone, doing a live, like, with, like, with
she's live streaming it. She's doing it. Who knows where she's been before she got to the store? What
probably
she's
just
been
the entire walk from the motel to
imagine
the store.
What she's been saying.
No, I can't.
One can only imagine during her walk.
She's like, "Here's the cafe. Here's Bob."
What she's been saying along the way. Oh my god, that in itself is like an experience.
Oh yeah,
to be live streaming with Moira Rose.
I really wish that they had that footage
yeah.
and could share it.
That would
on
be cool.
The Schitt's Creek Instagram. That would be like such a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
Because they did do Wine and Cat Gal 74. You saw that, right?
No.
That's a real Instagram account that they made.
They did?
Right. So this account started creating posts on December 21st of 2019. And it's like a Moira fan page. And then when this episode aired, it posted saying, Moira noticed me, whatever.
Oh,
and so it's definitely not a real fan page because it couldn't have existed in December when this was written and shot in June, you know?
Yeah.
It was like clearly like the show made it, but yeah. So they made that happen. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And the profile on Instagram, it's like Wine and Cat Girl 74, and then the bio is 3 crying emojis. Because Moira at one point says, like, I do hope you stop crying. It's so clean. It's very good.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, so she bursts into the store, and she's doing the whole camera thing where she, like, instead of going into, like, changing the mode, she's turning the camera, like, towards her and away from her. Like, it's really funny. And she's like, oh, I'm here in the store, and it's owned by my son, and, like, say hi, David. And
he is not here for it.
Uh-uh.
No.
Mm-mm. He is not having it.
Out of my face.
What are you doing? You look like the downfall of society.
Which we know David is not into social media either.
But he was, though. He was until there was a moment in season 1 where he says he's canceled all his accounts.
Okay. So he used to be.
Not no mo. But
again, is he wrong?
No, that's the thing. It's no. Like, I completely agree with all of the sentiments
yeah.
that it's garbage. Anyway.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. We love you, Instagram followers.
Hi.
So she's like, you know, trying to like, you know, engage them in this thing. Hashtag this, hashtag yeah. that. David's not having it. He's doing inventory. I'm not drinking his tea. And Patrick apologizes for him, you know, and is like, don't mind him. He's having a bad day. He barely got any sleep.
David, what's wrong? Your sleep apnea hasn't returned, has it? I thought that was remedied when you got your new nose.
It was.
Is it night sweats? You're not eating pet parrots in bed again.
No.
Night terrors.
I don't want to talk about it.
David, don't tell me you've had a nighttime oopsie daisy.
I'm sorry, a what? I'm leaving. Okay? And if I don't come back, it's because of you.
Me?
A nighttime oopsie daisy.
That made me like spit out my drink when I heard it. I mean, I know that sounds like hyperbolic. I literally mean it. Like, I was taking a sip of my drink, and she said, "Nighttime oopsie daisy," and I almost choked.
It's funny.
It's fucking hilarious. It's a thing
we say to our 3-year-old, you know what I mean?
Probably like, when they coined the term.
Sure, sure. Ooh, it's a nighttime oopsie.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so good.
But Moira knows that this is a thing.
She knows.
I mean,
she's seen the writing on the wall.
It's happened. She knows all that the issues that David has.
Sleep apnea, night sweats.
Yeah.
But by the way, I had to Google a pepperette because I think that's like a specifically Canadian term.
Is it?
For a Slim Jim.
Really?
That's what, I mean, it's not Slim Jim is Slim Jim.
Yeah.
But those like the meat sticks is what pepperettes are.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And then night terrors. And finally, nighttime oopsie daisies.
And then that's cue David wanting to leave. He cannot handle this. This is too much.
It is too much.
Like, he doesn't want to talk about it anymore. And it just keeps
it's mortifying. Broader.
It is.
It really is. It's one thing to deal with it, you know, behind closed doors with Patrick, whatever.
Right.
You know, like you said earlier, it's like there's a line. Like, what happens in their room stays in their room, and the world doesn't need to know about that business. But, I mean, at the same time, it's like Moira's his mom. Like, she's been through everything with him, yeah. You know? So she knows. She gets it, which is great. So when David leaves, like, storms out, right, they're left just Moira and Patrick, and that's when Moira explains.
Oh, dear. David's nocturnal enuresis used to only happen when he went to bed or juiced up with excited anticipation about something. Christmas, birthdays, the Ides of March. And now it seems your impending nuptials has opened the floodgates.
Oh, am I oddly flattered?
I can't imagine.
Patrick says, "Why am I oddly flattered?" And I honestly, if I was in that room, I'd grab his face and kiss him right there. Like, that's the kind of shit, man.
Yeah.
Boyfriends of the world, take note, okay? I'm just saying. Fucking the Ides of March. Why is nobody talking about this?
No, stupid.
David was so juiced up about the Ides of March.
Why? Oh, my God. I don't know how that came about or
that's
how that became a thing.
I really want to know which writer wrote that book. Because that says a lot about a person. That level of funny, dude, is like next level. Like, whoever wrote that joke is my future partner in life. Like, I don't know. Like, that's who I want to be with. You know what I'm saying? Oof. I love it so much. Christmas, birthdays, the Ides of March. All three in the same category of things that juice up David.
But we learn that David now is excited.
Right, that this is coming from a place of like...
bursting with anticipation for this wedding. Mm-hmm. Which is sweet. I mean...
It is. It's not... Yeah. I think what that helps too is like... It puts things in perspective, obviously, right? Like, this isn't just a random...
Sure.
Thing that's happened, you know, which I think also means that it probably won't ever happen again. You know what I'm saying? I think like that's what that's supposed to mean to us, the audience hearing that. We're like, oh, okay. So it's not that he has this like random incontinence issue. Like, it's right. There's
which
a
I think
reason
Patrick
for
was
it.
A little worried
sure.
about.
Sure. I mean, the plastic sheet, okay?
In case it ever happens again.
Right. But at least, you know, we all now know that there's a justifiable cause, sure. You know, for it, and that it probably won't happen again. So yeah, very funny, very good.
Yes.
Oof. But what happens is, you see what had happened was.
What had happened was, Moira takes this party over to Jazzagal's rehearsal.
That's right. Say Havarti, girls.
No. The I'm beginning telling, of this scene.
I feel like we're playing a lot of clips in this episode, which we don't usually do.
No.
But every fucking scene in this episode is hilarious.
It really is. It really is. She ends up at Jazzagal rehearsals 15 minutes late.
Sure.
Because, you know, other things are more important at this moment. And Jocelyn announces to everybody and to her, you're very happy for being 15 minutes late. Mm-hmm. And she wants everybody to take a picture.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This picture. First of all,
what
Jocelyn
the fuck is
doing
Jocelyn
this like
doing?
Gangster peace sign thing. I don't know, but Gwen in the background.
Oh, I know.
With the fucking devil horns, the Aussie fingers, the rock and roll
Gwen,
man.
Dude.
What the fuck? Man.
I'm telling you, like, do not sleep on Gwen,
no.
People. Do not just look at her as some old doddering woman who's Bob's
Gwen
wife.
Gwen is ready to rock and fucking roll,
fucking
man.
A.
She's proven it.
She's ready.
Yeah. She's like,
she barely even needed a cue. Like, Moira was like, let's take her, and she was ready.
Yeah. It's probably the best thing about
it's
this
so
photo.
Good.
Is going to be Gwen in the background. It's like, fuck yeah. All she didn't do was like put out her tongue, like kiss, and just like, bah. You know what I mean? Oh, that would have been amazing.
But that's when Alexis comes rushing
yes.
in and, you know, pulls Moira aside to let her know, you done goofed, Moira.
Oh, boy.
Because you never stopped recording your live stream. And guess what? Now the whole internet knows about David's nighttime oopsie daisy. I saw it coming too.
I know. I
the
know.
Minute she put the phone down, I was like, Moira, no. No.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oof.
So the world knows that David Rose has an issue.
Yeah, they know his full name.
The bed.
They know what store he owns.
Yeah.
And they know he wets the bed.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Great. That will never go away. But that, and that's
what I
love about this is that everybody's trying to like protect him. But it's like, guys,
it's out there.
It now.
Now
lives on the internet. Mm-hmm. Like, this is happening.
It's in the clouds now.
Mm-hmm. This is never going away.
Oh, poor David.
But blessings to everybody trying to stop this.
Well, or not. I mean, So Alexis tells Moira, like, you done goofed. This is terrible. We need to take this down. David can't know about this.
Right.
And meanwhile, Ronnie and team in the background have already gone to her page and are like listening to this audio of her talking about it. And Alexis is like, well, because Twyla's like, well, what are we listening to?
No, she goes, what are we watching?
Right.
Oh.
And Alexis is like, oh, no, don't watch it unless you haven't seen it yet. In which case, okay, just once.
Oh.
She's loving the amount of PR that this is getting for Moira.
Well, yeah.
Which I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this because on the one hand, I understand that this is Alexis's moment to shine. She's taken this job as Moira's PR person. She has a responsibility to Moira and to Interflix and, you know, the job or whatever to get as many eyeballs on this account today as possible.
Right.
And she's done that, you know, like
sure.
I get that. But at the same time, it's like, at what cost? At your brother's
dignity.
She also
has a responsibility to her brother.
Yeah, and it's her family.
Right.
You know, this
right.
is like this is your life. This is your this is your people, you know.
Right.
You don't like screw them over for life.
But I also can't imagine that this is a great thing to even have up because okay, now our star, Moira Rose.
Yeah, it's also like off brand
yeah,
and all that
it's
shit.
Just strange. So immediately it would be like a thing that you would just take down.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't.
I feel like Alexis is enjoying it a little bit too
yeah,
much.
Yeah, she is.
Like, not so much how much people are loving it and they're watching and all the views that it's getting, but I think that
yeah,
she loves
personally.
It. She says it. She's like, it's cute. Like,
yeah.
She's having a good time
she
with
thinks
it.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, she's taking it like, I don't even think she's really thinking. Like, if she took, like, 2 seconds to think about it a little bit deeper, she'd
yeah.
see that this is terrible and horrible for David. But I think she's just not doing that. She's, like, staying in that first thought brain of, like, this is funny. Like,
yeah.
you know, like, if it was anybody else, I'd be laughing. Like, I'm laughing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And it's a little messy. I don't know.
It is. Not the best
mm-mm.
look for her. But.
Well, so they're. Response to this, instead of taking it down, again, I reiterate, they call a meeting with Patrick at the cafe, which, quick sidebar, I have a confession to make.
Okay.
Because we're now that we've found, like, now that we're back at the cafe, because it's the first time we've been here since the season started,
yeah.
I have a major confession to make.
Uh-oh.
Much like I didn't know that the rings were gold.
Yes.
This whole time, all the 3.5 some years that I've been watching this show, I thought that it was spelled T-R-O-P-I-C-A-L-E.
Oh, really?
This whole time, in my brain, it was Tropical. You understand?
Yes.
To the point where, like, even, like, when anytime people would, like, type it on the internet and stuff, I'd be like, well, they spelled it wrong.
when
we got the shirts that we got, the baseball Cafe Tropical shirts, I was like, oh, it's misspelled.
No.
Yeah. This whole time.
What? Even seeing all the stuff. Yep,
even at the fucking pop-up when we saw it in plain as day, my brain has been telling me there's an E at the end of it. This whole time. Yeah. I know. You guys should see the Duke's face right now. She's looking at me like I'm an alien.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So what in this scene?
Why did I come to this realization?
Yeah.
So a couple of months ago, I've been waiting for this moment to make this confession.
No.
A couple of months ago, somebody on the Schitt's Creek fans shoot the shit Facebook page.
Yes.
Shout out to them. Somebody wrote a post saying, okay, so I'm confused. Is it pronounced tropical or tropical? Because it's spelled tropical. And once again, I read this and I was like, but it's not spelled tropical. So you should know it's pronounced tropical. And then I looked and then they had put a picture of the sign and I looked at it and I was like, holy fucking shit.
I'm
what?
Dying. This is great. Oh,
my entire Schitt's Creek career.
My entire life. I've always thought.
Wow. Remember that one time I sent you a picture of the actual, like the Cafe Tropical that I found across the street from my nail place?
Yeah.
And I took a picture of it thinking, and I sent it. I was like, look what I found. In my brain, I was like, it's close.
But no, that's what I was like, oh my God, where did you find this? Because I'm like, that's perfect.
Yeah, and it really is. And here I am thinking it's close.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Jay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, hey, Lady Jay.
Head, sand. That's me. But
well,
we're in the cafe.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Glad you finally have joined us.
However, now it does make me feel icky about calling it Tropical.
Why?
Because it's spelled tropical.
Oh, no. Now it's a thing. Oh, gosh.
Now I feel weird saying tropical because I know it's spelled tropical. So really, what the true moral of the story is, don't meet your heroes.
True.
Right? Don't meet your Cafe Tropicals. anyway.
Oh, my God. I'm enjoying this so much.
Patrick shows up at the cafe where Moira and Alexis are like sitting waiting for him, and they're like, oh, look, Alexis, it's Patrick. And he's like, yeah, you called me here. What?
Said you needed to meet me?
And he is very like, there's like a bit of concern in his face too, where it's like,
he stands before he sits, and I like that.
He's kind of
leaning over the booth like, what are we doing?
What am I? Yeah, like, why am I here?
Yeah.
You know? Then they tell them that, well, okay, here's an interesting thing that I noticed too, is that Moira, this whole episode, is always very quick to make it clear that she was like asked and almost forced to do this thing. Like, this was not of her own volition. She almost was like begrudgingly doing all this social media stuff, you know? She uses words like strong-armed.
Yeah.
And my hand was forced and dragooned, which is hilarious.
Doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't
because as we just discussed,
yeah, she doesn't like it.
Not her thing.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think she wants to make it seem, although she is excited.
That's
she's
my thing.
Having fun with it, but she doesn't want to admit it.
It's a way of, I guess, like plausible deniability herself. Well, they told me to do it, so that's why
I
did it.
And especially in this case,
right?
Where she now it's like, oh, I messed up because Alexis, like, oh god, you know, Alexis wanted me to do this. So yeah, I feel like it's her way of now, like, putting the blame on somebody else.
Yeah.
Quick,
queue. Has David taken your phone or anything, or like looked at anyone else's phone?
No. Sorry, somebody want to tell me what's going on?
Okay. So, no biggie. But my mom may have accidentally posted your little conversation from this morning over social media.
The one about
the oopsie daisy. Yes, but don't worry. I am involved now and I will be taking it down.
It's still up?
And generating a lot of traction. But yes, it's been, we're taking it. It's being taken down right now.
As Alexis pokes at her phone.
She's just like... just touching her finger to the phone, like, ooh, is this working? This whole scene with Alexis, I actually really like. I think it's really funny.
I especially love the way her delivery of the oopsie daisy. Yes.
Once it's determined, like, this has not been taken down yet.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick is like, okay, well, let's do that. And I'm going to stay here till it's done. Fuck yeah.
Oof.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Baba Bear to the fullest extent.
I just want to, like, grab him.
I know.
Just want to grab him.
He full-on grabs the phone, uh-huh. And he's, like, looking. He's like, you still haven't taken it down. It's still up. And that's when she gets really funny, which she does.
Right. All the comedy with,
like,
the drink.
Oh, yes. And she's all looking at him while she's sipping through her straw. She's like, on the phone. It's the best.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And Moira the whole time is eyeing Patrick like, ooh, this is happening.
Well, we're gonna take care of it. Yeah, because you know what? You poked the bear, man. Yeah. You fucking, you know, you know what you did was wrong. And you're owning up to the fact that it's a mistake. But you haven't done anything about it yet?
Yeah. So their main concern was keeping David from it.
Right.
But not taking it down.
Yeah. Weird. It's bad.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And when Moira's like, yeah, Patrick, that's why we've involved you in this covert stratagem, is just, again, like, these words, these lines, this, everything about this episode for me is just hitting.
It is.
It's hitting in a different way, man. It is. So good. But yeah, so Patrick is like, fucking take it down.
Yeah, I'm staying here, yeah. Looking right at her. It's like,
following this Instagram is happening. Account.
Let's fucking go.
Let's go.
My man is not going to be humiliated like this. Mm-mm. Let's fucking. Because also, he's never going to sleep again.
Yeah. Oh my God. The way he, like, says that too, he's like, I'm afraid he's never going to sleep again.
Yeah.
Like, he like eats it a little bit. Like,
yeah. He's genuinely worried.
Yeah. He loves him.
He's trying to keep him from this. Also, now he knows. Like, okay, now.
At least for 24 hours or until a celebrity says or does something
stupid.
Which
could be, like, any time.
What a great nod. You know, that was classic.
So.
Our button.
Oh.
Our fucking
just as perfect button. And amazing as the opening.
It really is. I feel like episode. If this whole episode was just the cold open and then the button,
right.
It would still be an amazing episode.
True.
Like, you know, like, it cut out everything
truth.
Else, and it's still
.com,
an amazing episode.
Yes.
They are once again at Patrick's apartment. David comes out of the bathroom wearing adorable little PJs.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah.
Not to get into who or what yet.
I'm so glad you decided to stay.
Well, there's literally no liquid left in my body, so.
Oh, forgot about this.
Taking that off first thing tomorrow.
What's the thread count on this plastic?
Okay. Would it help if I were to share something private and embarrassing with you?
I might be too tired for that tonight. If we're going to be married, I just think it's important that we be as open and honest with each other as we possibly can.
What is this sexy thing?
Yeah, I only put this in when you're not around. It's my mouth guard.
There's nothing really embarrassing about that. Also, you look very beautiful.
Oh, thank you. How about that?
My God.
This is my nose thing, and it just helps me breathe better.
I have never been more attracted to you.
Same.
Oh, Ronnie's texting me a link to something.
Okay, put it away, David. It's bedtime.
This fucking scene is everything.
I could probably watch this on loop forever the rest of my life and only this and just be totally fulfilled and happy and good.
David is absolutely right. Like, he's beautiful. He is perfection.
It's
Patrick.
Also an opportunity for David to give Patrick as much grace as Patrick gave him, obviously.
You know what makes Patrick so attractive in this?
His heart, his spirit.
100%. That he's doing this. He's becoming very vulnerable right now.
Yeah.
For David, because he wants him to know that everything is okay. He's perfect regardless of his flaws or regardless of what ridiculous things happen at night. Like, he loves him, period.
David smile laughing into a kiss is my favorite thing in the universe.
This kiss is like unlike any other kiss we've seen these two share before. I don't know if it's because of the mouth guard and the nose thing that he's wearing, but also coming out of the kiss, the laughing.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yes.
This is what I'm talking about. The ease and the comfortableness of this relationship is truly inspirational.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
It never gets old to me. Like, I just watching this little bitty moment in this bed between these two, David just continually telling Patrick how adorable and gorgeous and sexy he is as Patrick is, like, increasingly doing hilarious things, like putting mouth guards and nose things into his face and doing it with, like, a magician's flair, you know, like, hiding it before he reveals it.
He puts his hand there and just, like, inserts it. And, like, and then it's like, ooh. Now my nose appears.
Like, and, like, leaning back and breathing deeply. Like, all these things. And it's just, they're so good. They're so fucking good. And it ends
perfectly with Patrick. It's time for bed.
Put it away, David.
It's time for bed. Oh, I love it.
I fucking love this episode.
I know.
Genuinely, every beat of it makes me so happy.
Yeah. What more can you say about this episode?
Not much. Really not much than we've already said.
Are there any stray observations?
We also get another quote about Moira's thoughts on social media from Twyla, who reminds her that she once called it a cauldron of self-absorption. Which is also very good. Probably it for me. What about you?
I want to mention the whole Ashley Tisdale thing. Yeah. That needs to be mentioned. Mm-hmm. What?
Mm-hmm.
They played Suffragettes, and the film was called You Go Girl. This is a movie I want to see.
I thought it was a TV show.
Oh, whatever. This is a TV show I want to see. Both.
I want to see it. 6 seasons in a movie of You Go Girl.
Mm-hmm. I love the name drops every single time.
Every time.
It's perfect.
There probably isn't a single episode in which Moira has not done a name drop.
Probably not.
Has somebody done a super cut of all the name drops?
I don't know, but they should.
Yeah. Jessica, get on it. I know you're listening, girl. Nothing else?
I don't think so.
All righty. Well, then let's get into our next segment.
Who wore what best?
Whoop, whoop.
So because I'm feeling so generous and so lovely and wonderful about this, aww, I feel like just opening up myself, my heart, my mind in this episode. And I'm going to give it to Roland.
Oh.
Because Roland tried his hardest to look professional, you know, to meet a realtor or whoever they were going to meet in the whole planning of buying this motel.
Mm-hmm.
So often we see Roland in the jeans, the t-shirt with the flannel over it. But he added the leather jacket this time.
And he lost the hat.
Right. And he does, in his own little way, he looks good. He looks put together.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud of him for doing that. And this is going to go to Roland.
I like that. So much like how you sort of went a little bit astray with yours, right? I shouldn't say astray, but just out of the usual for yours. I'm also going to go out of the norm for myself. And this is a four-way tie.
Whoa, okay.
Four-way tie between Alexis's outfit.
Okay.
Moira's outfit.
Okay.
David's Fred Flintstone sweater.
Okay.
And David's PJ shirt.
All right.
Because I literally could not choose.
Wow. This is going to be very difficult to find pictures.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to do like your best. I'm going to do like this whole collage. Like a collage, yes. Of them all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. That is your challenge.
Yes, accepted.
Alexis's blouse especially, yeah, I'm obsessed with. Mm-hmm. I mean, the skirt is nice and it's good. And she always looks good in anything mini. But I really like the blouse a lot of her outfit. Nice. And Moira's, that skirt is everything.
Oh my god.
But the whole get up, it's oddly giving me like Three Ring Circus leader vibes, like minus the little top hat, you know?
Okay.
Like, because like I think the cut of that jacket especially is making me feel a certain kind of way. But that skirt is like so working.
Okay? Gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
Love. And there's something about David's fuzzy sweater when he appears wearing it out of the bathroom, it's like striking. You're like, whoa, that's a sweater, dude.
I just thought it was the towel on his head, but sure.
See, I think you see the sweater and then you go up and you're like, oh shit, and he has a towel on his head.
Yeah,
but the sweater, man, that's like a statement, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's an odd, or not odd, but it's a rare beige on David. We, okay. You know, obviously okay. It's got the black, but you don't really see him in anything but black and white. So like, that's, you know, a change. And then that PJ, that comme des garçons, I love it.
I love it. He wore with a white pants.
It sits on him so well, and it like is like just tight and fitting enough where it still seems like comfy, like you'd wear it as a PJ,
right.
But like it's just something amazing about it. So could not decide. I had to give it to all four of those things.
Hey, I respect you for
love.
It, man. Nice.
Noise. Toy. So before we get into our final segment, because we got a lot of good feedback from a lot of people.
We did. Thank you so
episode.
Much for that. I am going to read just some of the messages that we've gotten on social media.
Yeah.
From some of the listeners. And again, if you want us to say your name, please put it in the message.
Yes, let us know.
Yes. This episode touched my heart so much. Seeing the way that Patrick protected David's heart and the way he was going to do anything to keep David from being embarrassed.
Aww.
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfection.
Including embarrass himself.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And having said that, we have another person. It's great that more people with night guards are being represented on TV. P.S. I wear a night guard. Thank you.
Yes.
I love it.
Shout out to all the night guard wearers.
Okay. And then we have another person. Well, thought it was kind of dark for shits. Not sure how it was received for former bedwetters. Okay.
But I think we touched on that, right?
I think
the show, the way that it's framed and written, allows the space for it not to be like a punching down of bedwetting.
Right.
We're not so much laughing at the bedwetting as we are all the reactions and aftermath that ensues because of it, if that makes sense.
Here we go. Another one. Loved. Funniest episode ever. Ugh. Dan is a genius.
I struggle with funniest episode ever.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree.
No, I mean, funniest. It's fine that this person said that.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
sure.
Just reacting to that and like, I don't know. I don't know if this is my favorite best episode of all time. It's great.
It's great. It is one of the.
It's definitely
sure.
Top 10, if not top 5, you know.
Okay. Ness Jelson said, one of the best cold opens ever. David's second more shrill nothing truly sent me. And Patrick is a sweet baby angel.
Aww, he really is.
Concur. Absolutely. Megan Jean, giving this 4.5 out of 5 knows things. The main storyline was perfection. I was weirded out at the beginning, like, is this really where we're going? But they brought the comedy and made it heartfelt. I didn't really care for Betty or Benny, but I liked Stevie and Johnny at the end. I loved Roland's bits as well. And what is it with Johnny and egg salad at funerals? Yep.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, it's true.
You can thank Eugene for that.
Let's see. Poor David. Is there anything worse than having an oopsie daisy while you're sleeping next to the man of your dreams? Probably. Oh. I mean, I could think of some worse things.
Probably.
But, you know.
Like maybe muttering that you want to kill him in your sleep.
Yeah, really.
To name one.
Season 6, episode 2. Patrick coming in strong in this one. Put it away, David. It's bedtime. With that facial expression and mouth guard in, I just can't.
Dude, that... Yeah. Put it away, David, because he knows exactly what that link is, and he vowed to protect him from this.
Right.
And so he just grabs his phone and looks at him like,
I mean, all amazing points, all very true. And,
you know, and I can understand that it wasn't great for some people.
Sure.
You know,
comedy hits every single person differently. I mean, honestly, you know, storylines, we're all going to take from it what we do.
Right. Right. Betty.
No. Oh, God.
Any opportunity to do that?
Oh, I bet.
All right. So let's get into our final segment of the episode. Ratings, ratings, ratings. For me, this episode is 4 out of 5 nighttime oopsie daisies.
Nice.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I'm sort of dinging it for is the stuff that I said about Stevie, like my feelings about the Stevie of it all. That's really my only qualm with this episode, because for me, everything else truly hit. Mm-hmm. Like, hit. It was so funny. It was so good. So well done. I just don't know how to feel about Stevie yet. So fair. That's, yeah. So right. 4 out of 5 nighttime oopsie daisies.
Nice. For me, I am going to give this episode a 5 out of 5 mattress protectors.
Ooh.
The Stevie thing didn't hit me the way it hit you.
That's fair.
All I got from this was pure enjoyment. I laughed like I haven't laughed at one of these episodes in a while.
Yeah.
Not to say I don't laugh at each and every episode, but this one especially, it just got me. It hit all the right notes for me. And it was just, what better way to put it? It was just perfection. In my eyes, this is like a sweet little baby, and it was perfect. So 5 out of 5 mattress protectors.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So before we wrap this up, we have a new patron. Her name is Gina. And the Duke's giving me a face because she's cracking up right now. Because for those who don't know, that's my sister.
Hi, Gina.
And I need to sort of give this backstory because it needs to be part of her patron shout out, in addition to the thing that she actually asked for, because one, I want to embarrass her, but also I just thought it was really funny how it all went down. So we were at brunch and she pulls out her phone and she's just like looking at her phone for like 15 minutes. And I'm like talking, but she's also like not engaging. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? And she's like, fine, I was going to surprise you, but I don't know how to do it, so I can't. And I was like, what? And she goes, how do I sign up to be a Patreon? And I was like, what? Like, I was like, no, you don't have to. Like, no, you're my sister. That's why are you doing that? And she's like, well, you got me a Christmas gift and I wanted to do this like for Christmas, but I couldn't because I couldn't figure it out and whatever. And I was like, well, okay, I'm not going to say no to money. Like, oh my God. So I showed her how to do it. And then, so I don't know, she did it, but I was like, well, then now you have to tell me what you want for your shout out, you mm-hmm. know? And she didn't do that right then and there. And then like later when we were texting, we were like talking about something random and I got the notification about you have a new patron, and that reminded me. And I was like, oh wait, yeah, you have to tell me what you want for your shout out. And so like hours later, because mind you, she was out with her boyfriend on that night and like she was out and about like doing things at clubs and whatever. And I'm like texting her. So like hours later, okay, she texts me this out with no context, saying, is it too much to sing Sweet Caroline chorus, but Gina instead and do the ba ba ba? And I literally, I read it like 15 times and I'm like, wait, how is she saying this? Is she like, is she asking me to like send her, because she's done this before where she wants me to like sing something specific so she can have a recording of it on her phone.
Yeah.
And so I was like, is that what she's asking for? She's asking for me to do that so she has it. Is she gonna play it for her friends at the club? Like, or is she hearing the song at the club she's at and she's like, is it too much to ask for just once for it to be Sweet Gina instead? Like, I'm like literally trying to understand what the fuck she's talking about, okay, for like 15 minutes. And so I finally respond like, I do not know what you're talking about. Like, what are you trying to say? And she goes, and then she responds with, LeMayo, Sweet Gina, ba, ba, ba. And I'm like, no, I got that part. Like, what are you talking
for
about?
What?
And she goes, for my shout out.
Oh my gosh, Gina.
I lost it. I was cracking up. I also told her that we can absolutely do that, but this backstory is going on the podcast, so you've been warned. So without further ado.
Oh my God.
For you, thanks, my Gina. my sweet baby sister. You want to do this with me?
Sweet Gina. Ba ba ba. Man. Well, so, there you go.
There you go. Thank you so much for becoming a patron. And as always,
Yes.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on social media at Upschitt's Creek Pod on Instagram and Facebook, or at Upschitt's Creek on Twitter. You too can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/upschittscreek, where you can make us do all kinds of crazy things for your shout out.
Let us sing for you.
In addition to getting an extended episode one day early. And till next time,
keep it shitty.
Kiel Vaj. Blessings.
This episode is brought to you by the generous donations of Emily and Lucina.
Well, hello, you.